I don't know about you, but I love one of the statements that is made in there, and that is, you can't have a faith that is domesticated. And that kind of thought process I love, because I think a lot of times that is what we work so hard to have, is a domesticated faith. In other words, it's tame, it's safe, and you know what? It's not going to offend anyone. It's just going to be kind of over here to the side. The wilderness has a way of taking us out of our comfort zone and undomesticating our faith. In other words, it has this tendency for us to get real with God. And I don't know if maybe you've not gotten real with God, but God's not about ceremonies. He's not about different ways that we can separate ourselves from Him. He's looking for us to be real. And like I've said, in this wilderness process, God leads us into the wilderness so that He can strengthen our faith. In this series, we're talking about that this wilderness is not necessarily a forest, it's just a time of uncertainty, or maybe it's a time in your life when there is a lot of things going wrong, and you don't understand why things are going wrong. You don't really have an answer for the things that are going on in your life. They don't make sense. And you're looking for a reason. But the truth is that there really is no reason. It's just an opportunity for God to make Himself real to us. God uses the wilderness to create in us what might be lacking or what needs to be strengthened for what is ahead. And that's the thing. We don't know what is ahead. But I do know this, that what God is doing in your life right now, what God is doing in your life right this moment, is preparing you for what is to come. And He knows what is to come. Now, the issue is that we've talked about, a lot of times we try to get out of the wilderness. A lot of times we don't want to deal with the stuff we need to deal in the wilderness. A lot of times we pray ourselves out of the wilderness. We don't want the times of uncertainty. And so consequently, we get out of the wilderness less prepared than what God really wants us to be. Because again, we're looking for control. What we do in the wilderness is what helps us get through the wilderness. From this series, because we're closing it today, from this series, what I'm hoping that we get is a few things. And I'm hoping we don't just hear it, you know, and it goes out in one ear and out the other. I'm really hoping that we get this today. And that is these things. The wilderness is not a place to avoid. It is a place to embrace. Like I said, we spend so much time trying to avoid times of uncertainty or maybe difficult times or times where we don't have all the answers. The wilderness is not a place to avoid. It is a place to embrace. Another thing we got to get is that the wilderness is a place of preparation. Like I said, it prepares us for what is coming. It prepares us. Life goes on. Even in uncertainty, life goes on. And a lot of times, we just want to check out of life. We don't want to feel the pain. We don't want to feel the anguish. We want to just separate ourselves. The truth is life goes on, and it's in that life of the wilderness that God is preparing us. The last one here is we can really get that the wilderness is a place of safety, even in uncertainty. And you might be thinking, what are you talking about? How can the wilderness, a place of uncertainty, be a place of safety? We're going to look at that today, but let me give you this thought. Jesus has all of His disciples in a boat, and they're heading over to the other side of the lake, and a storm erupts, and the disciples get overwhelmed and overcome with fear. The storm is huge. The waves are big. The water is coming into the boat, and the disciples are actually fearing for their lives while Jesus is asleep. What the disciples don't realize is that that boat, with Jesus on that boat, is the safest place they could be in this world. God is not going to allow anything to happen with Jesus in the boat with them. That boat is the very safest place for them, though they're afraid. And it's the same with the wilderness. Even though we have a bit of uncertainty, because God is with us, the wilderness is a great place of safety for our lives. So as we close this series today, I want to look at a wilderness that I think a lot of us can identify with to some degree, and because it deals with, have you ever felt unnoticed? Have you ever felt unwanted? Have you ever felt unappreciated? Have you ever just felt like you were wallpaper? that people don't even recognize you. Because I think that all of us deal with that to some degree. We have a sense of unvaluing ourselves. And then when people don't value us, that also just adds to it. And so here we have a wilderness experience where God is dealing with this very issue. We're going to look at a guy named David, and I know all of you know David from the Bible, or some of you know him. We're going to look at his time in the wilderness. It was not just one, not two, but three times that David finds himself in the wilderness. And yet, listen to what he says, okay? It's found in Psalms chapter 55. He says, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then I would fly away and be at rest. Indeed, I would wander far off and remain," where? In the wilderness. Here he is, whatever's going on in his life, he's saying that I had wings and I could fly off to a place of rest and I would remain, I would stay in the wilderness. I think just hearing that, David knows something about the wilderness that we don't know. I would say that David experienced something in the wilderness that we have maybe yet to experience, and that's why we have this bit of a dilemma. We want to avoid uncertainty in the wilderness. David actually is running to it. He's attaching rest to this place of the wilderness. So let's look at David's life. You might know David as a giant slayer. You might know David as an adulterer. You might know David as a great king or a man after God's own heart. All of these are true statements, but those are all snapshots of David's life. And if you look past the snapshots, we discover the man shaped by the wilderness. Because the wilderness prepares us for the snapshots. It's like when right now, if I were to pass away, there would be, people would get up and they would talk about me and they would talk about snapshots of my life, things that just stand out to them. Okay, those might be great snapshots, but what creates those snapshots or creates that person is the wilderness experience. The wilderness is what actually creates that snapshot that we see in people's lives. So in David's life, you can read it on your own. I'm going to kind of be all over the place in this story. But it's found in 1 and 2 Samuel, so that's quite a bit of reading. But if you have time, it's a great read. David literally finds himself in the wilderness on three separate occasions. And we find David seeking out the wilderness, not as a place of punishment, but as a place like a tried and true friend, a safe place. So God has selected David to be the new king, the coming king. There's already a current king, and God is not pleased with him. His name is Saul. But David's just a teenager. And so God sends a prophet named Samuel out to find the next king that's to be anointed. Now, God knows that that individual is David. Samuel doesn't. And so Samuel is out, and God is leading Samuel and says, "I want you to go to this house," and the man's name is Jesse. So he goes to Jesse's house, and he says, "Listen, God has sent me here, and I'm to anoint the next king. Tell me about your sons, or show me your sons." So all of a sudden, these seven guys come standing out, and they're all striking young men. Samuel says it. I mean, first of all, he looks at the oldest one, and he's like, "Dude, this guy has to be the king. This guy is a stud, and he's good looking." You know, that's what Samuel's saying, basically. And God says, "No, that's not the man." He says, "I look at the heart, not exterior." So Samuel goes one by one, and God says, "No, it's not this one. No, it's not this one. No, it's not this one." So Samuel's like, "Jesse, what's going on? Do you have any other sons?" And he says, "I've got one other one. He's out in the wilderness taking care of sheep." Samuel says, "Go get him." And sure enough, they go out to the wilderness, they find David, and they bring him back, and he's the one. And Samuel anoints him as a king. And then you know what they do with him? What the father does and what the brothers do? They send him back to the wilderness. Now, they don't just send him, David freely goes. And you have to understand that part of the story. David is in the wilderness as a servant. All of his brothers are there around the house. All of his brothers are there with dad. David's the one out in the wilderness doing servant work. And so David is very much unappreciated. David is very much unnoticed. In fact, when Samuel comes, the dad immediately offers his best sons. And David's not one of them. David's overlooked, unappreciated, unnoticed. And maybe you felt that way. Because whenever we get isolated, we begin to feel like no one notices me, nobody cares about me, no one understands me, no one values me. And what tends to happen is life just tends to fade away because life is about relationships, and because we're isolated and we feel like nobody notices us, those relationships aren't there and they don't validate us, and we just continue to feel worthless and more worthless. Here's what happens. The wilderness is the refuge that allows God to establish our worth and value, not others. The wilderness is a refuge where God establishes our worth and value rather than others. It's the inner strength that we need in life based on our connection with God, not people. David wasn't recognized by people. David wasn't the one who was being showcased. Yet listen to what David says in Psalms 139. David says, God, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God? They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand, and when I wake up, you are still with me. Where is David getting this? He's getting this from the wilderness in his time alone, and he recognizes, you know what? Everybody else might cast me off. Everybody else might not appreciate me. When nobody else values me, not even my family, not even my brothers, God still values me. And he writes this, that, you know what? God's thoughts of me are more than the sands of the sea. Why do I even care what other people think? He's allowing God to establish his value rather than getting his value from other people. And here's the thing. The wilderness provides us a safe place to find strength for life. Because, listen, seriously, the temptation that we have is to always seek out validation and affirmation from other people. Sometimes we even depend on other people to connect us to God. And when other people aren't even there to connect us to God, like, oh, nobody's even there to pray for me, or whatever it might be, we get hurt feelings and we get dejected and we start having the pity party because nobody cares. And what happens when you're in the wilderness is you realize, I don't need all these people to connect me with God because God is with me. And not only that, I don't need all these people around me to validate me and give me worth and value because God values me and gives me worth. Now it kind of changes how we do life. Now I can do life and give other people encouragement because I've got it from God already myself, rather than depending on others. Listen to something else David says in Psalms 3. He says, but you, Lord, are my shield around me. You are my glory and the one who holds my head high. In other words, God, you are the one who gives encouragement to me. God is the strength and encouragement that we need. But you know what? Where do we find that? Not at Walmart. Where do we find it? We find it in the wilderness. We find it in that place of isolation where we desperately need God. We desperately need encouragement. So we turn. When nobody else is around, where do we turn? We turn to God. A lot of times, I'll just be straight up, a lot of times what we do is when we need encouragement, we find our best friend. That trusted person that we can go to and we can talk to, and they're always going to make us feel good about ourselves. But there's going to come a time when that friend will not be available. And so then what do? If we do not learn to go to God to get our worth and value and our encouragement, we're going to constantly be dependent upon people. And people are not the ones that are supposed to give us worth. The wilderness allows us to experience God's value of our lives. And we also see the next time David's in the wilderness is a little bit different. Now he's running for his life because the current king, Saul, David has been anointed as a king, but it's not his time. And Saul, the current king, is just super jealous. In fact, he's so jealous that he starts making up lies about David. He starts gossiping about David and spreading rumors. He starts discrediting David and destroying David's character. And in all of this anger and stuff that he's dealing with, he gets justified and feels justified to go and kill David. And now this king is on a mad search for David. And David runs to the safest place he knows, the wilderness. And here, David's in the wilderness, and of course I'm condensing this, but David runs to the wilderness, and of all the places where David could go, there are thousands. If you ever watch these TV shows about the Middle East, you know, in these valleys, there are thousands of caves. And David and his men, his trusted warriors, go and they find out one cave, and they go out to the very back of this cave to hide from Saul and his army that are out after him. And sure enough, in this one cave, of the thousands that are there, Saul comes in to use the restroom. Now, that's a, I'm sure it's not a picture you need, but Saul comes in to use the restroom, which means this, Saul is by himself, okay? And I want you to hear, because it's at this point where David's running for his life. He's been falsely accused. He's defensive in some ways, as we all are. And these close friends, these close warriors come and they say this, "Now's your opportunity, David," David's men whispered to him. He says, "Today," or they said, "Today the Lord is telling you," get that, okay, don't miss that. His friends are saying this, "Today the Lord is telling you, I will certainly put your enemy into your power to do with as you wish." So David crept forward and cut off a piece of the hem of Saul's robe, which it's, I don't know how David, I mean, you can imagine, you're being falsely accused, you're running for your life, and all of a sudden, the very person that hates you, the person that has been backbiting you and talking about you and just trashing you, is there alone. And you would certainly think, man, look how God set this up. I have a perfect opportunity to take care of this. Maybe in our world, it wouldn't be through trying to kill somebody. Maybe we would try to gossip about them. But David finds this perfect opportunity, and so what happens, listen to how this plays out. David creeps up to cut this, basically, I think he was trying to decide whether he was going to kill him or not kill him, and he decides, I'm not going to kill him, I'm just going to cut a piece of his robe off so he knows that I was there. But then listen to what it says. But then David's conscience began bothering him because he had cut Saul's robe. The Lord knows I shouldn't have done that to my lord and king. Get that. I mean, he feels justified in some sense, but as he goes to do this, his conscience is offended. Now here's the thing. The wilderness is a refuge that allows God to speak to our heart over others. You remember all of these trusted warriors, they said, hey, today God is telling you. They're telling him what God is saying. And even though when David goes and says, hey, I'm going to listen, but he goes, his conscience is offended because it's not what God was saying. Most of the time, we know the right choice to make, but we're listening to the wrong voices. The wilderness teaches us to trust God's voice within us. In fact, I would say it this way, we need to learn, the wilderness provides a refuge that allows us to listen to God's spirit in us over others. More than just the inner voice, it allows us to hear God's spirit who's trying to speak to us over others. And I'm telling you, the reason why that's so important is because when everything is good, people are talking and all this kind of stuff and you're getting opinions from people, the issue is, it's when you're in the wilderness that all of a sudden all the voices go quiet and you don't have anybody else's opinions around you other than God's. And you're able to really hear what God is saying to you personally. The wilderness provides us a safe place to get direction for life. And that's why David says this, you guide me with your counsel, leading me to a glorious destiny. And where did he learn that? In the wilderness? The last one is probably the most painful one for David. He finds himself in the wilderness. It's years later, he's been a successful king. The people love him. But he gets this message, and it says, all of Israel has joined Absalom in a conspiracy against you. All of Israel, all the people that he was ruling over had joined Absalom in a conspiracy against David. Absalom is David's son. And David's son started a revolt against his father. And again, David runs to the wilderness because it is a place of safety. David even says this to his warrior friends that remained with him. He says, for my sake, deal gently with young Absalom. Think about that. His son is after him to kill him. And the king says to all of his warriors that are with him, for my sake, deal gently with young Absalom. And most of you that are parents understand this. It's because as parents, we love our kids even when they act irrationally, when they make bad choices. And usually that's a wilderness experience that we have to go through at some point. The sad thing is, this revolt that Absalom creates against his father David ends up costing Absalom his life, and Absalom dies. And you can only imagine David and the sorrow that Scripture talks about, how he wept for days and weeks because he was so brokenhearted that his son had passed. And the wilderness can be a time of loss. It could be a time when you lose somebody that you love. It can be a time when you lose a dream, or there's a loss that you have to a dream, or even the loss of hope. But here's the deal. The wilderness is a refuge that will allow God to heal the wounds caused by others. Listen, I'm telling you, we need God's healing because people wound us. It's a part of life. We can't avoid it. You can't get away from it. It will happen. Whether people do it intentionally or circumstances happen where we have a tragedy and somebody that we love very much passes away, others bring hurt into our lives a lot of times. And if we're not getting God's healing, we're just carrying the hurt and becoming more and more bitter. I love Psalms 142 because David says this, "Then I pray to you, O Lord, and I say, you are my place of refuge," is what he finally says. You are my place of refuge. You are all that I really want in life. And in the lowest of moments, God is there to give us strength. He's there to give us direction. He's there to give us the comfort that we need. And whenever we have a need, we've got to know that God is there. That's what the wilderness teaches us. How many of you go through times where you feel unappreciated and unnoticed? You feel that people are ungrateful. You feel like people don't care. And it wears you down. Let me just see your hand. Just put it up, put it down. Just really quick. Okay, put it down. How many of you have gone through times in this life where somebody has done something that has brought pain and hurt into your life and you still carry it? Let me see your hand. You can put it up, put it down really quick. Okay. Here's what that tells me. We need to personally be defined by God. We need to be reaffirmed. We need to hear that God loves us, and we need to experience God's comfort in life. And I want to pray for you. And our band's going to be available, and they're going to come down forward. If you want us to pray with you personally, listen, I know that seems weird to a lot of people. We're not trying to make it weird. You don't have to tell us what's going on. We just want to pray for you personally because we understand one thing. The affirmation that we need, the value and the worth that we need in our lives does not happen just by osmosis. We need it from God. The healing that we need and the comfort that we need in our lives does not just happen because we come to church. It happens because we connect with God. And this prayer time is an opportunity to pray and to experience God personally. And if you want that, we're going to be available for you. But before we dismiss, I want to pray for all of us. Father, we're amazed at how much you love us. Father, I am overwhelmed at the value that you place in our lives, each one of us. The worth that you have placed upon your creation, upon us personally, is overwhelming. The fact that we are not moved by that demonstrates that we have not experienced the depth of your love. And Father, what I ask is in our wilderness experiences that we would not search out validation and worth from others, but we would experience it from you, that you would speak it into our hearts. And Father, for those times when others wound us and we don't deserve it, Father, we need your healing and we need your comfort for life. And that's what I'm asking for us today. I'm asking for every person that they would experience you. And just like David says, that you would be our refuge and we would discover that you are all that we really need in life. Thank you, Father. Thank you for giving us the story from David, relating it to our lives. May we not take it for granted, but may we apply it and live it out. We ask this in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen.